We just had a reading from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. And talked about parents and children. And one of the phrases in verse 2, honor your father and mother. This brings to our minds the remembrance of the mothers of the world today. And as Evan very capably pointed out, it's not something we should only remember once a year, that we should remember all the time. I'm reminded of a famous mother, if you will. And this famous mother was Sarah. And Sarah was the wife of a godly man by the name of Abraham. Now, unfortunately, Sarah was barren and unable to bear any children. Despite her being advanced in years, though, Sarah was seen as one who was to be greatly blessed. In Genesis 17 and 16, the scripture says, "And I bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Now, this was quite a feat to be accomplished in a woman not only who was barren, but who was advanced in years. But God says to her husband, "I will bless her and give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." The birth of a son was the cause for rejoicing amongst the Hebrews. We find that in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 6, where it says that Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear me will laugh with me." Indeed, the woman who is the kind of mother that God would have is a woman whose children will rise up and call her blessed. But why is there such honor and blessing associated with motherhood? Well, I believe one of the reasons is the wonder of motherhood. She was to be the bearer of a life that was to come from God. Look with me, if you will, at Genesis 4, Genesis chapter 4 and the first verse. You see here that she was a co-worker with divinity. She was to bear what alone God could give her. Listen. "Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.'" This is something that Sarah held very precious, that she acquired a man from the Lord. The woman can do this, not the man. The man is not capable of bearing children, but the woman is. And certainly this is a key part of the wonder of motherhood. But notice also, she is entrusted with molding and shaping this precious soul. She will be the one who gives and the one who will not forget her child. Notice in Isaiah 49:15, God asks, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Now, he is just observing something here that's just as natural as the day is. But notice, surely they may forget. What does he mean? A woman may forget her child, but God says, yet I will not forget you. God will not forget you. It is God's will that you remember your child, that you nurture and shape your child. But notice also her exalted status. In our passage that we just read a few moments ago, we find a quote from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and it points to both parents being honored. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. Of course, we understand that the father is to be honored, but the woman, the mother, is not excluded. She also is to be honored. Her status is higher before God than any other legal system. Many legal systems place a woman on the level of a slave or someone who's bought or sold. But notice that Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3 says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Revere is used of a person in an exalted position. The Greek here connotes standing in awe. This is not simple fear, but reverence. Reverence whereby an individual recognizes the power and the position of the individual revered and renders him or her proper respect. In this sense, the word may imply submission to a proper ethical relationship to God. We can see that children must learn to revere their mother, to recognize her exalted status before God. And children are to heed the teaching of their mother. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. That's Proverbs 1 verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, what does the law of your mother mean? Well, the law here means regulation, teaching, or instruction. You are directed by God to not forsake the teaching, the instruction, and the regulation of your mother. Again, recognizing her exalted status before God. She is to be respected for her position. If you look with me at Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, you'll notice there is given here a gruesome warning to the disobedient. Look at Exodus 21, 15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Do I need to read that again? He who strikes his mother shall surely be put to death. Again, in Exodus chapter 21, down at verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You see it? Proverbs 30 and verse 17. That's Proverbs 30. And verse 17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Do you see here the importance not only of respecting your father and mother, but obeying your father and mother? It puts your mother on an equal plane with your father. And under God's law through Moses, severe punishment was prescribed. That's why obedience is something that must be taught by the mother. In Proverbs 13 and 24, we have a reference here to the man who spares the rod. And this, notice now, he hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. This would apply equally to mother or father. The one who hates his son is who? The one that spares the rod. Respect for authority is crucial in the home. But the wife, the mother of the home, has a job of encouragement and a job of comfort. If you look down with me in Isaiah 66, look at Isaiah 66 and begin with verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides you shall be carried, and be dandled on her knees, as one whom his mother comforts. So will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Notice that God is using something that is very commonly practiced by the mother to teach something with regard to the way he's going to comfort Jerusalem. This is what a mother does. But also, something we need to note is her impeccable character. This is a significant thing in a woman who is a mother. We see that it not always was this way with mothers. There were 7 kings of Judah who did good and 8 kings who did evil. On all of the last 3 before Judah fell to Babylon are listed as evil in the sight of the Lord. But decades before, Jezebel and her daughter, Athaliah, had set in motion the destruction of the nation. Notice from the scriptures, they were domineering, and they were self-willed, and they were inordinately determined. And what is it that led them in this direction? Notice, they worshiped false gods, and they cut off the prophets of God. This was carried on through Athaliah in 2 Chronicles 22. Notice in the first 3 verses, 2 Chronicles 22. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Athaliah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaz, the son of Jeroboam, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaz was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Look it down at 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7 first. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman had spoken in, had broken into the house of God and had presented all the dedicated things of the Lord to the Baals, idol gods. Notice the success of a good king in verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Jotham was one of the good ones. This is seen also in the character of Mary. We see her undying love and her concern for, first of all, the whereabouts of Jesus. They were looking all over for him. They couldn't find him. Where is he? Where? So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." They were looking all over for him because of what? Because of deep concern. And notice also, she showed respect to him in John 2, beginning with verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." She had respect for him. She left it to him and let him go on from there. And notice the respect shown him at the cross. In John chapter 19, going on down from chapter 2 to chapter 19, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to that disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. She was a woman of impeccable character, not like the kings of old who were influenced by Jezebel. But another thing that we notice is that a mother is divinely directed to love. She has a divine directive to love. Well, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Titus 2, the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 4. Now, Paul here is giving Titus instructions, and he says to speak to the older women and tell them that they are to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, hold it just a minute. They're to love their husbands, and they have to be admonished to love their husbands? Yes, they do. This is not a burdensome charge. They are to love their husbands. Well, what does this imply? It implies that they might not know how to love their husbands, and that older women will be in a position to teach younger women how to do this. But that's what women are directed as mothers and wives: love their husbands. It's easy, by the way, to love those who love us. And certainly that should be the case. We're not talking about fathers today. but we're talking about mothers. Maybe we'll talk about fathers on Father's Day. Okay, but there's more to this passage. Look down there. This passage says they are to teach the younger women to love their children. Love their children? Why, you just naturally love your children. Well, you remember when we talked about taking the child and nursing the child and holding it? That's not always a natural emotion or a natural feeling. They should be regarded by women as a gift from God. That is exactly what they are. And because children are a part of us, they will carry on a statement of what we are and of what we love. Because it is the purpose of our life to see that the God of heaven is glorified in all that we do, this would be included in the nurturing of our children. Children should look at their mother and see what a godly woman should be, what a godly mother should be. And they should have that example to carry with them as they mature and go on in this life. But you notice something that we didn't mention before. The command that was given is a command with a promise. It's a promise that life may go well. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, the word earth can also be correctly translated land. And you notice in the Old Testament, that's the way it was translated, land. And the reason for that is that in the original context, that this promise that was rendered to people who were going to live in the promised land. But what would happen if they disobeyed their parents? What if they dishonored father or dishonored mother? Well, we read that just a little bit earlier. They were to be stoned to death. Wouldn't go well with them in this life. But that it may go well with you and may you may live long on the earth. We see verse 1 saying, children, you are to obey your parents. This, of course, is also found in Colossians 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is what God wants. Now, it behooves mothers and fathers to teach children obedience. We do this by teaching them obedience in the simplest things. Things that really have no great consequence, because we want them to learn the concept of obedience. Why is it so important that we do this? Well, disobedience indicates an undisciplined life, and it results in dissipation and wickedness. Besides the fact that it means we have not done our job as parents, it means condemnation for our children. who have not been disciplined properly. Careful conduct of our lives can not only improve the quality of our life and give our life length of days, but eventually it will result in a home in heaven for us and hopefully for our children. I feel very strongly about the responsibility of parents. But let me suggest this to you. I want all of us to give due honor to God-fearing mothers who give themselves to the solemn task of shaping the lives of precious souls. We see far too many mothers who are distracted with other things, whose lives are pointed in different directions, and they are not giving their full attention to their children, which they so desperately need. We need to give due honor to God-fearing mothers who give themselves to the task of shaping the lives of precious souls. And finally, may all the mothers apprehend the trust that God has placed in your hands. Do you realize what an awesome responsibility is given to you? You have the responsibility of molding a child into one who will someday serve God. And not only serve God, but carry on the banner of our King. You are shaping the church of tomorrow. May God give us the ability to do it, and may He bless us with whatever we stand in need of to do the job. I appreciate your attention today. I realize the lesson is not as long as usual, but I wanted to make a real concise lesson on mothers and how they relate to God's plan and God's purpose for all of us to ponder and to think about. Some of you have your mothers with you. Some of you, your mothers have already gone to their reward. But you can understand, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, the awesome responsibility which God has placed in our hands. I leave the lesson with you today. I want you to take it into your heart, to look the scriptures up. We'll have this lesson, Lord willing, posted online for you to view if you'd like to, or have someone else view. And also, I'll mention to you, one of our members has been unable to connect to us, so he's asked for DVDs of each of the lessons, and I would be just as happy as could be to make a DVD for you if you can share it with someone, or if you'd like to sit and look at it yourself. Just make your wishes known by emailing me or drop me a note, and I'll be glad to do that. And we want to take every opportunity we can to reach others and preach the gospel and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that are around us. And by the way, I meant to mention, on our Facebook page is where our video will be posted. The website, bbchurchofchrist.org, will have the charts and the audio on that medium for you to share also.